Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening and welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. I'm so glad you guys have joined us. We're going to have a good one tonight. One of the things is, you know, in our theme song, God is on the move, and He is so on the move, and we want you guys to jump in on that. I'm excited to have my husband here with me tonight. James, how are you?
I'm good. Good evening, everybody.
Well, you and I were talking a couple of days ago, and we were talking about the things that we're facing right now, the way the world is going. We face some financial issues, and definitely you and I in our marriage, we have faced several financial ups and downs, and so we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight.
Yep, kind of where we've come from, where we are now kind of deal.
Yes, and we hope that by sharing a little bit about this, that it will encourage you guys, if you might be struggling any kind of way in your finances or just not seeing the hope and the light at the end of the tunnel, well, I hope this will encourage you tonight.
Right, right. So our journey kind of started a long time ago, really, 20 plus years ago for sure, probably closer to 25, seriously started, I think.
The struggle started at the very beginning.
Yeah, the struggle started like when we come out of the womb. But
yeah.
when we first started getting serious about the word, I would say we've both kind of been around church and the religion side of it, you know, but it was probably close to 25 years ago, we actually started, you first really, but decided, you know, hey, we need to get serious about this word and then see what it says and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so thinking back, because you got that rearview mirror, you know, that hindsight 2020, you can see where you come from. You're thinking, man, we were dumb, you know.
we have come
a long ways. But you know what I mean? It's the whole deal. You don't know it unless you've been taught it, or if you've read the book type deal, you know. And what's the, like the word says, God's people perish due to lack of knowledge. Well, we were perishing due to our own lack of knowledge, you know what I mean? We caused it ourselves, but we perished, not perished, but struggled a lot, and a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, it was, you know, I remember back whenever the kids were little, you know, we've taken turns in our marriage and who makes out the bills. Well, at this particular time, I was making out the bills, and it was one of those situations where you're lucky if you had $100 at the end of the month after you made all your bills. And so I had sat down and I had made out the bills, and I had started just seeking God in my life, and He was just starting to move. Kids were young, and I was making out the bills, and I just saw where it was going. And the Lord gave me a scripture that a lot of us know nowadays, but back then I didn't know this scripture, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. And He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but give you a hope and a future. And as I made those bills out and I prayed and God gave me that word, it was like immediately my faith just shot up from that word of God. And I knew from then that it looked bad now, but God did have a design and a plan for us. And it was for a good future.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the key, the key point, the moral of the story right here, I think, that what we're talking about, is that we have to abide in Him and say that God is my God. In Him I will trust and I will serve Him. Because that's where it starts, is God, and it ends with God. But if you don't believe in God, if you don't think about God in your finances or in any area of life, that area is going to fail. And so I think it believes, you know, it starts off with, you have to really believe that there is a God, for one, right? You have to believe that God, get the Word out, read the Word, see what the God says about it, and then do what that Word says.
Do you think that sometimes people, when they have a relationship with God, it's just about whether or not they're going to go to heaven, and that's all about their salvation, and they don't really include God in the rest of their life, and in all the details of that, especially their finances?
Oh, I think a big majority, and a lot of that has been the way our churches have taught us. We've been taught wrong in the church. You know, the church was about getting saved, and that was all. You know, the rest of it's life, you got to handle it. You do life Monday through Saturday. Church, so you learn about Jesus and going to heaven on Sunday, you know, and that was, and it was more of a fire insurance, don't go to hell type mentality, for me anyway, the way I took it and the way I think I was, you know, where it was brought
mm-hmm.
up. But
yeah.
That was what church was for. Church was, you know, church was for fire insurance and go to heaven, and that was really it, you know, and I never was even known that you could have Jesus in the middle of every area of your life. I didn't know that was even what you were supposed to do. And I hadn't read it, so, you know, it was my own fault. But looking back, you know, but that was the key. You know, looking back, that's the key, that we started putting God in the middle or at the beginning or whatever you want to call it of our finances. That's when our finances changed. You know, you can kind of, like I said, you can look back and you can see these steps.
Yes.
And look back, and God's been kind of reminding me of some of the things that we've gone through. And how we had put our faith in Him and trusted Him, like when we started tithing, you know, and that, we've shared that before. But you grow. And I've said it before, and I was like, once you start tithing, you won't tithe very long. You'll quit tithing real soon because you'll start giving. You'll start giving above and beyond
that
tithe.
You'll go past that.
Yeah, you want that 10% will be like, oh no, that's, you know, that's God. I want to give God part of my money, so I'm going to sow into that so I can reap more, you know, and so you get by that, and people say, well, I can't afford it. No, you can't afford not to. And you hear it as a cliche, but I was the one that said, we can't afford to, you know, and I mean, I'm talking from experience. I was the one that said, you can't, there's no way. If you want to do it, you do it, but don't blame me when the lights are off, you know, and they never went off. And so, and this is one thing I know we've shared before, but thinking back, and it's the best of my knowledge, from the day we first started tithing, and we weren't tithing properly. We were just giving, you know, we weren't giving 10%. We was probably giving $20 or $30. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We probably wasn't. We wasn't. I don't remember exactly what we give, but I know it wasn't no 10%. But we started giving some with the right heart. You had the right heart. I was like, we're not giving nothing. But you want to give it. Who cares? But that's one thing about tithing. It doesn't say you have to have the right heart. God says, test me. He says, if you do it, He will bless it. He don't say you have to have faith for it. You know, you don't have to have faith for it. You can sit there and think it's not going to work, but it still will, because there's no, you know, attachment to this deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We don't have to believe for it. You just have to do it. So it worked. It worked. We started seeing changes. But as far as I can remember, and I'm pretty positive of this, that we never ever had a hot check since the first time we started tithing. And we used to have at least 3 per payday, because that was the first thing that came out of her paycheck, was the hot check charges, like $10 a check or whatever it was back then, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't get mad over those, did you?
It was overdraft fees, you know. And so, yeah, that was the first thing to come out of our check. It wasn't the tithe, it was the overdraft fees, which was probably more than what our 10% would have been. But we were living in ignorance, you know.
Right.
I think. But anyway, so once we started paying that first tithe, and like I said, it wasn't even accurate. We really didn't know what we were doing. We just knew that the Bible said you're supposed to tithe. And so you had wanted to tithe, and I really wasn't there yet. But I know that I don't think we ever had another hot check after that. And nothing changed. Like, we didn't get no money come in to wipe out some bills. We didn't pay off some stuff and just coincidental we had more money at the end of the month. It didn't happen like that. It was just, the only thing that changed was we tithed, and that changed the whole realm of, we never had hot checks. And so that money was probably enough to get us on to the next time where we didn't have enough. But anyway, to look back on, well, first we understood that there was a God and we were going to do what he said. And so Acts 10:1-4 is talking about Cornelius. And I really like this. I read it in the Amplified. And I want to bring some of this up because some people think our offer will just give it to the church or pay for the preacher or whatever that is, you know. But when we're giving and we're sowing seed and paying our tithe to the church, that goes directly to God. And it's talking about in Caesarea, right? There was a man named Cornelius. I'm reading an Amplified version. It said, a centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who, along with all his household, feared God. He made many charitable donations to the Jewish people and prayed to God always. So it just says that he was a giver. He tithed and he was a giver and he prayed all the time, right? Okay. And we skip down there in verse 3, an angel appeared to him and he was frightened. I'm skipping down some of this for time, but the angel says, he says, what is it, sir? And the angel said to him, your prayers and gifts of charity have ascended as a memorial offering before God. So our offerings go before God. When you give and you sow in that church, that goes up before God, and your prayers come up before God. So the tithing part, it comes before God. And so this angel's telling him that they have come before God, and God wants to bless you for your giving to the Jewish people. So it's time to reap the harvest, you know what I mean? And so it's right there in the scriptures that it comes before God, you know, and he tells him exactly what to do. And so that's one of the things there that we get away from is but we start, when you start this process, you start out slow. It's like anything else. You'll just jump right in there and all this, right? You kind of take the baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we did that too. Like, we didn't just start in. And I can remember that we would, okay, let's just give $20. And we had started tithing and we was trying to get our 10%. And then we wanted to try to give above that tithe $20. You know what I mean? And so it was kind of a struggle because we still, like I said, we hadn't had no, and when all this started, we had actually went and bought a new place and we had just come into seemed like it was $400-something a month house payment. And we went, and we still had that payment because we hadn't sold yet. We had that plus our new house payment was it varied, but it seemed like it was around $1,100. So we went to about $1,500 to $1,600 a month, from $400-something to $1,600 a month, all in the same whack, with no increase in money, and we had just started tithing. Like, we were both on board with this whole deal. We had just actually started tithing. We still didn't know nothing about tithing, but we had started doing it, and our debt had increased, tripled probably, you know, and our income had stayed the same, but yet we never were without. And I can't explain it. I can tell you where it come from God. But I can't tell you how he done it or nothing, because it just was there, you know. And so anyway, but we had faith in God. We believed in God, right? And so we started looking to God for bigger stuff, you know what I mean? And then I remember we started, okay, I really want to give $100. We'd like to give $100. And it wasn't no time. Within a few months, 6 months maybe, we was able to get $100 above and beyond our tithe. And then we started thinking bigger. You know, you started getting some word on it. You read the word and you start learning. You start getting some teachings. You know, you get some people of faith and what they say. Okay, what do they say about it? And you start, you know, absorbing that and understanding, getting a revelation of it. And then it was, oh, I really want to give $1,000 one day.
Mm-hmm.
One day I would love to give $1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it increases. You know what I mean? It's like there's a meme that Pastor sent to me one time that says, if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And I love that because he will. I'm living proof because I think I'm literally addicted to giving. I really am. I think that's me. I have that addiction because if I go so long and I haven't given money away to something or something, whatever, I start thinking, we got to give something. We got to sow something. We need to keep seed in the ground. And I just constantly, you know what I mean? I was like, I want to do that. I mean, all the time I want to sow something or give something. And so I think I am somewhat, and I've even kind of jokingly, but not necessarily, said, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to outgive you. before, you know, because you always hear that. You
can't
outgive God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, if I give so much that my needs aren't met, then I've outgiven God, because He says He shall supply all my needs. And so we have given that $1,000 seed, you know, when we didn't know if we really have it, you know what I mean? And I remember the first time we ever gave $5,000, we gave $5,000 one time. And we were like, well, this is going to put us in a bind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I said, there wasn't just this miraculous somehow, like, we want this money just to start falling, and we have this, oh, where someone gives you a duck, and all of a sudden starts like golden age, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's not like we just got one big lump sum. Someone didn't say, hey, here's your inheritance of
right. So
many $1 million. No, that's not what happened.
Right. You had somebody you didn't even know died and left you millions. Thanks for their $5,000.
Yeah.
It never was like that.
No.
And so we've gone through the test. I hate to say the test, because it's like God's not testing us. You know, the Bible talks about we'll face tests and all this, you know. And we do. We face tests all day long. But God's not bringing those tests to us. Now, I think he allows us to go through those, you know, to see where our faith is at.
Well, sometimes when I think about that, I think that God knows where our faith is at, or knows what we'll do. He wants us to know.
Right.
He wants to know what we're made of.
Right.
Because we doubt ourselves, or we doubt our faith, or we doubt, do we really hear God?
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us, He wants us to know through those times, look, this is what you're made of. You are hearing right. You are doing.
Yeah. It just come to my mind is that you have a child that's swimming. You're trying to teach a young kid how to swim, and you're right there, and you know, and they start sinking. You'll let them sink a little, you know what I mean, before you grab them up by the water, because, you know, let them know that they can do it on their own, you know. And I think that's how God is. He's right there. Now, He's ready to pull us up out of the water if we just keep sinking, you know. If we just, you know, if He has to, He'll pull us up out of that. But He lets us, you know, look, they got to figure us out on their own, you know. Let the kid swim, and he gets tired of water, he'll, you know, kick and go to the top, you know.
Yeah.
And he'll figure it out. But when the kid does that, that's when the kid learns, hey, I can swim, I can do this.
And
that's
within them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was in them. And they just, like you said, we have to show ourselves. God knows, and that's what I mean. God knows, but He's letting us know too.
Yes.
Now that's a good. But yeah, like that kid swimming deal is the same way. So our finances, and I think we were like our kids. I thought back a lot on what we had sown and we were believing for and this and that. And we come in some pretty tight stuff, you know, where we just didn't, you know, the oil field, you work in oil field, so it's up and down, so you see some pretty tight times where there's no money, and you may have some put up or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, we've been through a couple of busts.
Yeah, we've been through a bunch. My whole life I've been there, but it's roller coaster riding, but it's, you know what I mean? But that's the beauty of being in the kingdom of God, is there is no up and down. It's just up. It's always straight. You're always going up. You're going higher and higher. God takes you from faith to faith. And I heard this the other day. It's been a while back, actually. Now, I'm not real sure where it was. I think I know, but I'm just going to say it. And they said that faith, like, what is faith? Faith is our response to what Jesus has already done. Jesus has done everything.
Okay, say that again.
Faith is our response to what Jesus has already done.
Okay.
See, Jesus has already done everything for us. And how we respond to that is basically kind of like, that's the level of our faith. Let's say you first get saved, you first learn about healing, and you get sick, right? You don't have any faith that you're going to be healed, right? And so you have no faith that your response would be, I'll go down and take a bunch of NyQuil and, you know, go to the drugstore and buy all the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you learn more about that Jesus is our healer, right, and He's took straps on His back for our healing, down that road you may come across that same symptom, you know, that runny nose or a cough or whatever it might be. And you may speak to that and say, no, Jesus, by His stripes, I am healed. You don't run down to the store and start buying all the cold stuff. You speak to that cold or the symptom or whatever it is, and it goes away. And so your response to what Jesus already healed you. So your response to the symptoms or whatever's going on is your faith level of what Jesus has already done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. And bringing this back around to the money thing, you know, so many times people take, and you know, if you don't agree, jump in here, but they get their paycheck, they have their paycheck, and they think, I earned that money. That's my money. And in doing that, they are not placing that faith in God, in releasing what the Bible has said, not having that faith in, if I give, then he says he'll give back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And that's that faith kicking in that financial area is, do we have faith? And goes back to our action.
Response.
Our response.
Yeah, our responses to it. And that's the same thing. And I have a quote here wrote down I wanted to read. It says, if you put your confidence in the flesh, in whatever form it comes, it will always steal your joy. If you place your confidence in your flesh, it'll always steal your joy eventually. Basically, if you're just not trusting God, you're going to fail eventually. You know, it may be fine at first. You know what I mean? But if you trust in your flesh, you need to trust in God and not your flesh.
And I was thinking about that when that same, it's a scripture that says, I think it's in 2 Peter, 1st or 2 Peter. Anyway, it says, God has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. Everything that we need. And that goes back to what that quote, that what you're saying is in that. We can't do it on our own. Right. God's given it us. And he may be out there saying, okay, we want you to swim. We want you to swim. But look, I've put in you what you need to know how to swim. I've put in you, I have resources around you to help you do what you need to do to succeed. And it's not all dependent upon you coming up for that.
Right, right. And so in some of our, as we grow, right? So we've Matthew 7:26-27 is talking about, you know, the scripture where you build your house. The wise man builds his house upon the sand, and when the rain and the wind and the floods come, it washes it away. And then the wise man built it on the rock, right?
Yeah.
Well, God spoke to me just the other day. He says the rain, the flood, and the winds, that is the trials of life. They're going to come at every person. As long as we're on this planet, we're going to have those trials.
You're
going
to have, that's what the Bible says.
You're going to have the rain, the wind, and the flood. It's just dependent on your faith or your response as to where you built that house. You know what I mean? Did you build it on God's going to take care of it? Is your financial house built on my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches? Or is it in, well, I got a good paying job. You know, my job, I got a good paying job. I got retirement. I got insurance. I don't need God in my money because I've got a good job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some sandy soil right there.
Well, and another thing, think about this. A lot of people say, I have enough money for me and my own.
Right, right.
And that's not what God tells us.
Yeah, that's selfishness.
Yes, yeah. God says that he blesses us that we can be a blessing to others.
Right, exactly.
And they think, as long as I'm taking care of myself, that's good. But that is a selfish thought.
Yeah, it is.
That just me and my own is all I'm taking care of.
That's right. Yeah, God said we should be lenders, not the borrowers. So if God tells you should be a lender and not a borrower, then you should be lending. You know what I mean? You should be lending, not just worrying about myself. You know, we've got enough to get us through. We're not worried about nobody else. So we're to be helping. We're to be that light. But and going back to what we're talking about, some of our own personal stuff. We've had trials, you know what I mean, and we've made it through a bunch, but I can't say until just this last recently, and that would be this year for me.
And we're about to be married 30 years.
Right? Yeah. Next month. So, but for me, this thing we just have kind of it's not really over with yet. But what we had was going through there is our finances, but we have gone through some stuff, and we said the right words, you know what I mean? And we're standing in faith, and I've sowed a seed for this. But I still had some fear. You know what I mean? I mean, I tried my best not to. And I never spoke my fear, you know, and I always said the right words. You know, I did the Christian thing, the godly thing, you know what I mean? That's all I know to do was do what, look, God, all I know to do is what I can do. I believe your word. I sown the seed. I'm believing for the harvest. I'm believing you're going to show up and make this payment for me, whatever it would be, right? And he always did. He never has not shown up. He's always done it, you know. And I love Pastor saying is God's very seldom early, but he's never late. And I tell you what, I'll probably the first time you want to ask him in heaven is, Lord, why in the world do you show up at the last second every time, you know?
I know, but he's like, well, look at how strong your faith is now.
And I said, you know, and it's just like, come, can't you just come, you know, come on early, like, you know, now? You know,
yeah.
When it's a, in your mind, it's a big thing. You know,
that's
you
right.
got a $600 electric bill. What are you? You know, you're used to a $150 electric bill.
And
all
that's
of a
the truth, right there.
$600, and you're like, okay, Lord, now we can talk. You show up early, you know.
Yes.
And so, but it's I have seen it through the times, and I, like I said, it's just to be honest, I've never not worried about it. You know what I mean? I know worry is a fear, and I don't like to say I worry, but there's no other way to explain it in my mind that I wasn't. I knew God was going to show up, but I just was a little worried about when. You know what I mean? Was we going to lose this, or was we going to have electricity or whatever before he got here? Because, you know.
And the truth be told, I knew there was a little bit of worry going on there. I saw some fear, but I knew.
Yeah, and a part of it is, as a human or as a man, you try to figure it out. You know, is there other ways? Is there something I can do to help this money? Something God wants me to do, even. You know?
Well, because God has made you the breadwinner of the home,
right.
and the provider, and I mean, I contribute to that, but
right.
most men are the ones that are taking care of their families.
And like I said, it doesn't matter whoever is, you know, whoever's doing
it.
Either way, but the deal is, you still, if it's your duty in your mind to meet these needs, and then you don't see it how it's going to be met, there can be some worry and fear come upon you. That the Bible says, have no fear. Well, that's one of those, it's easier said than done
yeah.
kind of deals. In the flesh, it takes experience. I think it's the only way to describe it.
That's a good way.
It takes a lot of experience, you know what I mean, before stuff to come up. You know, when you have a $5, whatever it is, you know what I mean, you have a $5 bill that comes at you. That may overwhelm you at first, an extra $5, you know what I mean? Gas goes up 10 cents a gallon. That may freak you out for a little while. But over time, you see in God, gas is a need. You need to go get the kids. You need to go get groceries. You need to go to work. And so that's a need. Well, my God supplies all my needs. So it don't matter what gas goes up, God's going to meet that. And so it gets easier with time, and the fear factor kind of somewhat subsides for over stuff. You get used to it. But then something new jumps up you're not used to, you know. And the bigger it is, the longer it takes. But it's just, we've been doing this now for a while, right? We've been doing this now for
Come now, 30 years.
Somewhat, in a small amount, understanding it.
Yes.
So, and we've had some revelation, and God has given me wisdom in ways I don't think He's given everybody, you know what I mean? That not everybody can see it. He's allowed me to see some things that's helped me, you know, take that fear away and know it's going to be okay. God's going to do it. And also in Luke, you know, he's talking about money in there for a lot of that. And then and then he says, this is the least of these.
So I know, that's the least thing we should
worry
about.
Money is the least of your worries in the kingdom of God.
But yet that's what we all think
and
about.
And everyone focuses on their money. And so to me, that's always been, okay, Lord, I do not want to worry about money. You know, I want to worry about healing the sick. I want to worry about, you know what I mean? I want to worry about not making people, that's the wrong word, but I want to be the one that can draw the people to Jesus. How do you show the lost that Jesus is the King and the Lord and you draw them to Him? See, that's the reward right there, you know? And it says when you tithe, you're doing that to further the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is people. You know what I mean? You're just a king with a throne if you don't have no people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the kingdom of God is people. And so our tithe and our giving is all for one specific thing, and that's to draw the people to Jesus. And so it takes money. As long as we're on this earth, we're going to have money. But I'm telling you right now, the good news, the gospel to a poor person is you don't have to be poor.
That's right.
The gospel to a sick person is you don't have to be sick. You know what I mean? If you can give someone $1 million, but they're dying of cancer in 3 days, guess what? They could care less about that $1 million.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's useless to them. It's not going to do me any good because you can't buy healing. Now, because Jesus paid for it. You know what I mean? He bought it, I guess.
Yeah.
But our levels of financial struggles, which we're kind of talking about tonight. I guess I'll try to keep it back. But the fear was always there to an extent. Like I said, if something well, we last time was worse than this, and we got through it. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. But for some reason, it seems like the devil throws something out there a little bigger than you had last time, or totally different. He don't give you something the same.
It's not the same, yeah.
No, but so anyway, so in this last, to give y'all just an idea, we had come up against this last time, and we were facing some financial hurdles.
Yeah, I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, we had. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna throw some numbers out there. You're not gonna like it because she don't like when I talk about numbers and money like a figure. Like, you know, women. She don't like when a guy, you buy a car and a guy walks up and says, "How much I pay for that?" And I was like, "Oh, we pay $23,000 for it." She's like, "Don't be telling them the numbers. They don't even know how much that is." You know, like, "Well, that's just guys. We don't care." You know. She's like, "Well, you know that business. Well, it ain't. But who cares?" You know. So it's a
And people need to know because I mean.
Yeah. So she, you know, but anyway, for this, just for second numbers, and these aren't exact numbers, but this is rough figures, right? So we had a bill coming up due, was around, $8,000. It was over $8,000. I seemed like it was around, going to be roughly around $8,600, which we did not have. You know, we did not have $8,600. And we had this bill coming up, it was around $8,600, I believe. Okay. After this $8,600 bill, within a month, we had another bill coming that we knew was coming, and it was about $19,000. And then probably a month and a half after that, we had another bill that was going to be roughly around $10,000. And then a month and a half after that, we had another bill that was coming that was going to be almost $20,000.
My stomach's already turning.
So we had, you know, and if you quick do kind of what quick math, what is that? That's like $59,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming at us over the next 4 months. Within four to five months, we're going to have $45,000-$50,000, and that's a lot of money.
Yes, it
and
is.
That's a lot of money just to try to come up with, right? And so we're like, you know, kind of what we're going to do? We got this, we got that, but we, you know, we don't have that kind of money, right? And so anyway, and like I said, we don't even have the eight. That's the smallest.
That's the 50.
That's the smallest of the ones coming, right? We had, like to say, eight,
mm-hmm.
86, I believe. We had eight, then we had 19, then we had 10, then we had almost 20. And so it was all, we seen it coming, right? Like you see it, the devil's like, look what's coming next. You better not worry about that eight. Look what's, you got 20 coming right in front of you. And so, okay, so we just, we're going to do what we can do, right? These are all needs. This is not, we're going out buying stuff we don't need. This is need, right? And so I said, well, I'm not really going to worry about it because I'm a tither. God is going to supply all my needs. And I'm not going to worry about it. Now, did I try to do some kind of figuring out of how to do it and shuffle this and shuffle that and try to make this stuff work? I did, and I was, but there was no fear in this deal.
Well,
for the first time. For the first time for me, I did not have that human fear of it, of, I don't know if we're going to make it. I never had that. I don't think we're going to make it. What are we going to do? Are we going to have to sell stuff up? You know what I mean? I didn't have none of that. You know what I mean? And God told me one day, he says, okay, God will order my steps. He spoke to me and says, God, the word says God will order my steps. He has ordered my steps. And so, okay, Lord, I don't need $60,000. I need $8,600. You know?
Right now, this is what
one
I
step.
Need.
I'm looking at it, and I wrote it in my phone. I need the first step. God's going to give me the first step. I'm going to look at the first step, right? When I get this money paid, right? And it wasn't no if, it was when. When I get this money paid, okay, God, what do you want me to do now towards getting this next money
step.
Paid?
Mm-hmm.
And so, And I had peace about it, right? And I didn't fret. I wasn't in fear. I had no idea how it was going to happen. But I knew who was going to happen.
That's right.
I knew who was doing this. It wasn't me. And so we come along. And it wasn't nothing spectacular came up. You know what I mean? We had the first one came up. And we had a lot of that money. We had a couple of small things that happened. And just, there you go. We had that money. We paid that bill, and it really didn't even affect us, you know. We paid that bill, and we went about it like it was nothing, like it was a $1,000 bill or something like that, and we had the money, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the money when all this started. When I was looking at it, we didn't have the money. And then I said, okay, well, just little this, little that. Now we've got the money. We paid that one, you know, and then, okay, Lord, just make the next one happen. And just look at it one step at a time instead of looking at the whole thing. And then... We had some people that owed us some back money. It's kind of what helped a lot on the second one, right? So they owed us some back money. So we ended up getting a check for like $7,000 that they had owed us to, but it wasn't a major, like, you know, deal. So, but that $7,000, hey, we want to get y'all caught up. You know what I mean? As well as deals, just kind of shows up. We want to get y'all caught up. And so that $7,000 shows up. Then another guy says, hey, would you like this equipment? You can just sell it or whatever, and you can just have it. And so we wind up selling that and got about $2,000 out of that. You know what I mean? So there's two more thousand. Someone just walks up and gives you something to sell for $2,000. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We actually sold it for $3,000, but it cost us
to move it
and about $1,000 to get it sold. And so, but there's that $2,000 was somewhat just miraculously God. Like someone just shows up, here's something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a recognizable, that's God, you know? But the rest of it was all just average, ordinary. You know what I mean? We sold a few cows. We did this. We did that. We sold a few cows. Cattle jumped for hires. Get rid of these old cows we don't need. And just did some different things that we needed to do anyway, right? Just, it was simple.
But through that, God gave you that wisdom to do
right,
it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was listening. God was telling me what to do. We just did it. Like I said, it was no fear in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made the $19,000 payment. We made that $19,000. And we moved on, right? And the next one come up, and it was going to be the $10,000. It wound up being a little less than that. But we paid that and had money left over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had money, like that's not even, you know. And so we've actually sown some, most of that extra money we had left over, we've sown that. Like, we still have another $20,000 in front of us as of right now, but we're not keeping back what we had left from the last one. We're sowing that. We've sown it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that God, look, this has been so easy to come up. Look, we've made 40 of the 60. And we've never even thought about it, to be honest, not really. We thought a lot about it, but it was just so easy. God just did it. And so, and
it hasn't always been, God has always showed up, and He has always been on time.
Right.
And like you said, it wasn't ever early, but I believe that is a different level this time. This is just recent, and this is a different level.
Well, to back up, I left this part out. Now, to back up, before any of this started, we had not made any payment yet, and we did not have enough to make the first one. And I don't remember who it was or how it was, but you had told me, you said, hey, I was at work, and you said, hey, I feel like we ought to sow $500 into something, somebody, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was somebody. I don't remember if it was a guest minister.
It was a guest minister.
So anyway, you were like, I think we ought to sow $500. And we did not have the money to make the first payment. And my first reaction was, well, sow it. Give it. We don't want to eat our seed. You know, let's sow it. Because we don't have enough now. We need to sow. And never did we even think twice about not sowing. Let's just sow. You know, because you can give your way out of debt. I don't care what that sounds like in the world. In the heavenly kingdom, that's how you do it. You give your way out of debt. Because when you give, God gives back more.
And the thing of it is, the Bible says we are not of this world, but we are the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to live by the world standards, or
right.
do you want to live by God's standards?
Right.
We have to be the ones to make that choice.
Right.
And when you live by heaven's standards, it looks different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you don't even, like I said, that was my mind I don't think we need to give nobody no $500. No. That was immediately, give it. If you think God said to give $500, we might want to give $1,000. But we're going to give the $500, you know.
Yes.
And we gave that right off the bat, not having enough. It's just like you read your Bible and you see this happens over and over and over. You know, the prophet shows up and the lady don't have nothing. All I got is a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. I can make, you know, well, feed me first.
Yeah.
Give what you got away.
My last
you take
meal.
What's left. Yeah, yeah. Take your last meal, give it, you know. And just a blessing and honor from it. And so all these stuff that you digest that, and we've lived it. We've lived it now for a long time. And it's so easy for us. But this last time, it was so easy. It's been so easy that I was like, God, I think I passed this test with flying colors. I finally did not worry about some stupid money stuff. Okay, Lord, what's next? Are we going to start raising the dead? Are we going to heal the sick? You know, what is the real treasure? You know, because God says who is faithful in little, much will be given. Okay, and he says in Luke that the money is the smallest there is. Okay, Lord, we've been faithful in the money. We got this money deal working, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not worried about money no more.
Oh, wow.
We got the money deal figured out. We don't worry about money. So now, what's the most? What much is going to be given to us? who. It's not what. It's now it's who, you know. And so we move on. So now I've really been excited and looking to like, okay, what do we get new now that really matters? Because that's what God said. Money is something that really doesn't matter. But if you take care of that and you're honest and you're faithful in the little, you'll be given the true treasures of heaven, which is, we all know, is people. That's the true treasure. That's what Jesus paid for, was people. And so I think we're fixing to be, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to be giving people. Man. We get people to
I haven't even
to do
thought
that.
About that, but I'm pretty excited about that now, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's like when you're a kid, you know, or whatever, watching your kids, they got walking down pat. You know what I mean? You know, when you first watch your kid walk, they fall down all the time. It's like God's been watching us walk and fall down over money for 20 years. But, hey, we finally got it.
We got it, yeah.
And so he's like, okay, yeah, that devil can throw money stuff at them all day long, and they're just going to laugh, go on, and kick on. I can trust the people with something important now. You know, I've been trusting. They've been trying to see if they can do their money. We give them talents and see how they do, right? Well, they've got the talent deal figured out. So let's give them something that really matters now. So we'll keep y'all in tune.
Yeah.
What comes up to our people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
maybe it's the end time harvest of the souls and the people.
Yeah. Amen. But it may be partly through this radio. So
right.
I don't know.
Maybe so. Well, you know, I was just actually, it was just earlier today I was praying, and just to kind of relate to what you were saying a little bit ago about, you know, we've done this over and over and over, and we've seen God work. But anyway, I was praying today, and I was going through something. It wasn't financial, but it was something else. And I said, I just prayed. I said, Lord, I told him, I said, I know. I said, had I not already known, I might be shaken right now. But I know. I know from what you've done in the past that you are here with me, and you're going to help me through what I'm going through, because he's shown himself true. And so that's where it has to start. You have to make that start. You know, do something. Hear the word, obey it, and do it. And believe it, receive it, speak it, and do it. You know, at the beginning, you even talked about this a little bit, is you weren't quite ready for the whole tithing thing. And so, you know, as a married couple, it's hard on a married couple, because, you know, they say money, that's one of the most things that married people fight about. Yeah. And so one wants to tithe and one doesn't. So what do you do? And so I'll tell you what I did. I was waiting tables at the time, and I didn't make a whole lot of money, because, you know, you get to keep your tips. I really wanted to tithe, but you were not ready to tithe yet. I had to come to you.
I think I said, you tithe on your money and leave my money alone.
Or whatever.
Not knowing it was God's money all along, but anyway.
Yeah. And so I decided, okay, you know what? I can do this. And so my paycheck that I got from waiting tables paid my car payment. So that was already spoken for.
Yeah, 1 month. 1 month
yeah.
Just made your car payment.
I know. And it was like a $300 payment or something, right. $350 or something. Anyway, and so I got tips. And so what I started doing, and so I had heard a message on doing this. And so I got two envelopes. Or no, I just got one envelope, I guess it was. And I had one envelope, and I wrote God's money on it. I put it in my purse. And at the end of every day, I would take 10% of my tips, and I'd put it in that envelope. And then at the end of the week, I would tithe off of my tips. Because my tip money was my money, and I could do whatever I wanted to with it. So that's where it started. I started there and in that marriage. Now, where did you come along in that process? I'm trying to remember, but I know you tried to dabble off a little bit in my purse there once in a while.
Well, I know I remember the one time I was looking for some money, and I was like, she's got to have some money in her purse. You know, life always has all the money, you know. And so I was looking for some cash in her purse, and I looked in her wallet, and there wasn't no cash in there. And I see an envelope. So what's in this envelope? So I'm opening the back of the envelope up, and there's cash in it. It's got, I don't know, it's got a bunch of ones and stuff in it. It's got some cash, and it was more enough money to do whatever it was I was going to do. I don't remember what it was. And so anyway, I'm fixing to get some money out of it, and so I flip it over where I see the front where it's written on it, it says God's money. And I was like, oh, I ain't touching God's money. I put it back. Put the envelope back, more like, you know, like a thief that I didn't touch nothing. Put it back to hide my tracks. I wasn't about to touch no God's money, you know what I mean? But as far as when I come along, like I said, we started writing checks for, like I said, I know it was probably $20. You know, it was like $20. And so that was not 10% of nothing we was making, but it was, we had started making like $20 a week that we'd go to church. We'd go to church every week. And so we'd put in like $20 in the offering. So, you know, we were putting in $80 a month, maybe sometimes 100, but a month, you know. And so, but from that time on, within a couple of months, I had seen that we don't have any hot checks. And so I'm like, okay, we haven't had any hot checks. Why haven't we had hot checks? And so it was, well, the money, I'm saving $100 a month in hot checks. Really more, or not really hot checks, but overdraft fees. It was overdraft fees.
Yeah.
The bank would always pay them. They just got their money from us, you know,
every
time. And so, okay, we can pay. That's where I started, was we can pay this $100 a month because it's saving. We're not having to pay the bank overdraft fees. And so I was giving money that we just weren't wasting. You know what I mean? I wasn't necessarily on board with the whole tithing part. But it was more of the, I had noticed, and I didn't recognize at the time. It's a hindsight deal. At the time, I just knew we had more money because, you know, and it didn't dawn on me that was why. I didn't, you know, I caught none of that. And so it was just a fact that I'm fine with you giving $20, $25 a week to the church. That's fine with me. I don't care. We have it. You know, we're not paying the other fees, so it's not putting a hindrance on me, so I'm fine to do that. And like I said, it wasn't nothing religious in my mind about it. I wasn't honoring God and giving that money. It was just, we were paying. You wanted to do it, so I'm trying to keep the wife happy and let you do it. And it ain't really breaking the bank. It cost us $25 a week or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that went on for a few months like that. And really, it's when we moved over to Wheeler. This is what happened right before we moved to Wheeler, right as we were moving to Wheeler. We got a new house and everything.
And that's a whole
nother
testimony.
That's a whole nother
testimony. Yeah, itself. We know God moves to Wheeler. But anyway, right. Go ahead.
And
with
so
that.
Anyway, we had got into the Pastor Mercer was teaching. He would teach you a little every Sunday about tithing and giving. You know, and I said before, I didn't even know Malachi was a book in the Bible. I thought that was some leprechaun in the movie or something. I never knew Malachi, and it's my own fault. You know what I mean? I'm a 25-year-old man that knows how to read. You know, it's my own fault. It's nobody's fault but my own. I don't know why I would have been taught that. But either way, I knew how to read. I had just never read the Bible. And I had never known that when you didn't tithe, you're robbing God. And I couldn't stand thieving, you know. And so, but I was doing it myself. And so I started learning a little bit, right? I started learning a little bit about the tithing and the giving. And man, I just took that. It just hit me, that was just so down. That's probably the first thing, other than maybe salvation, and I didn't understand salvation. I understood tithing before I ever actually understood salvation, if that makes any sense. I knew I had done what you're supposed to do to be saved. But I would argue with the preacher about you can't know you're saved,
yeah.
You know.
And me. You argued with
me. But I'd argue with you. The Bible says no one knows, not even Jesus.
Yeah.
So how can I know? You can't know that you're saved. And so that was one of those, but I'd taken one scripture I had heard and taken it out of context, you know what I mean? So I really didn't have the salvation deal figured out and know too much about that. But I tell you what, this money deal, now that's something that I could see, touch, feel, and I could see it work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving, and I'm tithing, and it was short, at least within a month, I would say within a month of hearing a little bit of this tithing deal, and opening up the book and see what it says for myself, and God just spoke to me through that, you couldn't get me to not tithe after that. We wasn't really just necessarily giving much at the time, but from when I first started hearing it, and I first opened the book and said, when I first seen Malachi 3:10, when I first saw it, and it was very, very early from Pastor Mercer teaching that, you could have not made me not give again, because one of the worst things that I thought there was a thief. Anybody that steals something was just, you know, over in the Middle East, they cut your hand off and thieving. In my mind, that's a pretty good punishment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now try to steal something with a nub, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's just my mentality was that way, right? And so I'm not about to be no thief. You know what I mean? I ain't about to, and I'm sure not going to steal from God. So you couldn't make me not tithe from that very first moment. And I just read it and read it and read it and got all the scriptures I could find, and I got little pamphlets and I got booklets. And if I was around anywhere that sold a CD, you know what I mean? I mean, I bought the CDs on it. I remember Larry Hutton had come to our church within a few years of that, and he had lots of CDs on tithing and giving, and man, I bought them all, and you know, and just listened to them, and I just soaked all that, you know. I tried to get all the revelation knowledge I could. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to mess it up. But this is the lowest thing there was, right? If I can't do this, you know what I mean? It's like on a football. You know, we're in football season, and if you don't know the snap count, right? That's like the one thing you kind of need to know. It's like you're the center and you don't know the snap count, you're not going to get very far in a football game. You know what I mean? That's the
not really,
basic
but yeah.
thing. I mean, you know, you've got to know that. That's, you know, yeah. And so anyway, it's that's where I started. That was my starting point. And I understood that. And it was, I could see it. You know what I mean? Had I tried to start with maybe healing or, you know, casting out demons or something that was spiritual and not physical that you couldn't see it, I probably would have had a really tough time figuring all that stuff out. You know what I mean? But I started at the bottom. You know what I mean? Look, you got to take that first step. Once you get that figured out, you can go to making the next step. You know, that baby walking. Once you get that walking figured out where you're not falling down all the time, then you can go ahead and try to jog and run and all that kind of stuff, you know? And so, but I started at that bottom, and I feel now, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those deals that it's taken us a long time, probably a lot longer. Like, I guess I think I'm a slow learner, you know. I know God took me 20 years.
I call it being hard-headed. I don't know what you call it.
But either way, you know, we just had the word, of, you know, don't be in office, so I won't get offended. But
yeah, there you go. Don't be in office. We just learned that for sure. Well, you know, going back to being a married couple, it's hard because if you both don't agree on that. And so start wherever you can start. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to what you said at the very beginning. When you tithe and give, you're not giving it to the church. You are, but you're giving it to God. And it's not like they're trying to take your money. What this whole thing is doing is so that you can be blessed. And that's what we have to understand is, what are we tied to the most in our heart? And it's our money. And that's why we start with our money. You release that money. And release that and say, God, I want to open you. I want you, invite you into my finances. And so it's as simple as that, as reading the word, standing on it, believing it, and doing it. And, you know, you kind of teased about money being the lowest thing for you, and you got that, maybe you can move forward. But I really believe watching you, it's really shocked me, actually, because to see where you were, where you're like, I'm not tithing, you can forget it. We don't have money to tithe, to now, you won't miss it. And I believe it's part of God has given you that gift of giving. Mm. I think that's what's in you. You have that gift, and you can help people see that gift, or, you know, see God work in that money and in our finances.
I know, I mean, you know, people say they don't really believe you, but I do. I love offering at church. You know, I do. I look forward to being able to give at church. You know what I mean? I do. I really, it's just as important as this worship, you know, and God getting in your presence of God in the worship and the word being fed, that word. I mean, the offering message, to be able to come with joy to the throne. And like I said, you read that scripture, we just read it. That comes before God in Acts, you know. Your offerings come before the Lord, and God's, hey, they're giving, they're praying, I want to bless them. And he sends an angel, you know, and I'm like, hey, Lord, send me an angel, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, and also the part of that is in 2 Kings 7, you know, when they had the famine, and the prophet came and said, by this time tomorrow, you know, and he told them he was going to be able to buy wheat and penny. There'd be more than enough this time tomorrow. And then the second command guy, you know, he says, oh, really, this is going to happen? This ain't going to happen.
By tomorrow, huh?
And he says, and the word to him was, you'll see it, but you won't get to partake of it.
Because it's lack of faith?
Right. Because your doubt. He said, because you doubt. He said, because you doubt, you'll get to see it, but you will not get to partake of it. And that's a scripture right there that I put on my faith as far as the money, right? I don't want to be able to see all the good stuff. I want to partake of all the, I mean, I'm not talking about good stuff as being a big house and a car and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about the good stuff being the same thing Jesus considers the good stuff. The people coming to God. You know, I want to be able to sow the seeds, and I want to be able to watch the harvest, the people that it reaches come to know Jesus because of my obedience with something little like money. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And so it's that I want to, not only do I want to see it, you know what I mean? I want to partake in it. I want to be part of it. And so it's pretty exciting, I think, the time we're coming, because people are fixed. They're right now, people are already hurting, you know, and I think it's going to get worse and worse, and it's getting darker and darker, but the church gets lifted up higher and higher, and the dark will be drawn to the light. You know, it's like the bug. They're drawn to that light, and then they get zapped. Well, we have to be the light, but not the bug zappers.
The bug zappers.
Yeah, don't zap them.
Don't zap them.
Draw them in, but don't zap them when they get there. Don't beat them over the head with religion, I think. You know, I think that's what sometimes we do. But
okay, so we're about to run out of time here, but I wanted real quick for you to tell us, where does the tithe go to? Because, okay, we've got some listeners out here that are listening. They're like, okay, I'm ready to tithe. Who does the tithe belong to?
Okay, the tithe, which is the biblical term, is a tenth. The first tenth of any of your increase, that actually belongs to God. God says in Malachi that is His. If you are not giving that first tenth of your increase, then you're stealing from God. So, and you say, well, I made $100 and I gave $10. Well, listen, now this is getting religious and getting technical for a lot of people, but you haven't given anything. That was God's. And you haven't given a dime. You have just you have tithed back to God what was His. And you will be blessed for that. He will bless you for just giving Him back what's His. If I give you $20 and you say, here, I'm going to loan you $20, you've given me back my money, but I'm going to thank you, I really needed it, and I'm going to bless you and honor you with that. It don't sound right, but you're giving God His. He gives you the money anyway, or He gives you the ability to get wealth, and you give Him what's His, that tenth, and He blesses you for that. And then so when you start giving above and beyond that 10%, then you start actually giving to God. That's when the blessing, really, you start getting into 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Right. So when you go to tithe then, so we give it to God, so you're saying wherever we're receiving teaching from the Word, is that where we should tithe?
Yeah, they took their tithe to the local temple, you know, where the priests were, which is the same thing as where you get your, you know, where you go to church.
Who's
feeding you spiritually? And it should be a body, a church. It should be a local body. I know people sow into radios and all that. That's awesome. That's great. I know a guy that he got saved in prison, and he used to, so he sent his tithes to prison ministry, you know. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly biblical, but I promise you the guy's going to get blessed because he's paying his tithe to wherever. And if he got saved in a prison, that makes sense to me. You know what I mean? If God tells you don't do that, go give it to a church, then that's what you change.
Just listen to God.
But yeah, God will tell you if it's wrong, but it's, you know, like I said, you bring it to your local church, and then your offerings that you give, you sow into other, you know, stuff, because your local church should have everyone in that church's tithe coming in, and they can have some offerings, they can not have some offerings, right? But if your local church is meeting the needs of everybody, you know, if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and they're reaching the community, and you're not going to draw people to Jesus if your church is slamming the doors in people's faces and they have a hungry child. Can we get some formula? We can get some money for food. And you're like, no, bam, slam the door. We got no money. You know, that's not going to draw that person to God. But the
it's
local
going back
church.
Taking the gospel to the poor,
right,
is what you said.
Right. You have to be hungry.
You have a need. We want to meet that need.
Right. So you have to be in the right church, right? There's a lot of churches that aren't doing the right thing. But that's where you pray to God, you know, He leads
you.
Yeah,
that's where you got to lead Him. Okay, but, so we're out of time.
Okay,
we're out of time. And, you know, really, we've only got to tell just one or just a few stories, but we have a lifelong of experiences with being without and trusting and relying on God. But I want to leave with you guys tonight that God will get money to you if He can get it through you.
Oh, yeah.
So just remember, go check the Word out. The Word says to be a tither and giver, and I guarantee you that your finances will make a huge turnaround. And so we just want to tell you guys good night, and thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.